Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Mizmor 92. Psalm 92, the title of it is very unusual. It says, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat. And this is the reason that we recite this psalm three times over Shabbat. Though nothing in the psalm itself seems to refer to the holiness of Shabbat, to its myriad laws, or to the notion of resting and celebrating. Nevertheless, the Mishnah confirms that in the temple one psalm was recited each day, and on Shabbat it was Psalm 92. Now, immediately the rabbis began to explain that the Shabbat mentioned here is not the weekly respite from work, but the eschatological notion of Shabbat as a time which will be completely peaceful when the entire world will rest from hatred, from greed, from wars. Another midrash says it was penned by Adam HaRishon upon hearing of God's death sentence for him, but then Shabbat descended and he was saved. Malbim, however, takes a more rational view of the psalm and its connection to Shabbat. The content of the psalm, as we shall see, is about God's providence in this world, and that though it looks like the world runs in a natural order, nevertheless, the eye of God is always watching over it, rewarding the righteous and punishing the wicked. And though God must hide his providence so that people can still have free will, it nevertheless exists. Since Shabbat is a testimony of the divine providence in the world, the song was created with the title That Day of Shabbat. The psalm splits into three sections, which, barring the title, divide into a neat 7-1-7 structure. Seven psukim, then one pasuk in the middle, and then seven on the other side, with the first seven discussing ways to praise God and a comment on the wicked who seem to flourish. The spine of the psalm, that one pasuk, consists of four words, Vata Marom Le'olam Adonai, you God, eternally above or up high. The second half of the psalm explores the wicked and the righteous and their ultimate fates. Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbat Tov Leodot LaAdonai Azameh Shimcha Ayon La'agib Ebokar Chasdecha V'munatcha Balelot Alei Asor V'lei Meva L'agir Michinoa Ki Simachtan Adonai Fo'olecha Masei Yedecha Arnei Magalu Masecha Adonai Me'odam Kum Achshvotecha Ish Bar Lo Yedai Uchsi Lo Yedvinat Zot Befroa Chashim Kmo Esev V'yatzit Zekol Po'el Nishandam Adayad. A psalm song for the Shabbat day. It's a good thing to give thanks to God, to sing praises to your holy name, to declare your loving kindness, lagid b'boker chasdecha, in the morning, and your faithfulness in the evening. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the harp, to the melody of the lyre, for you, God, have made me glad through your work. Hisimachtani. I'll triumph in the work of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works, ma rabu masecha Hashem. And your thoughts are very deep. A stupid man does not know, and a fool can't understand this. When the wicked spring like grass, and when the evildoers flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Now, verses 3 to 5 begin by declaring the Tov that exists in thanking God. Tov lo do la Hashem, famous song we're all familiar with, morning and evening. It did not escape us that in the creation of the world, it was God who declared Tov seven times. And now it is time for man to return that declaration back to God, acknowledging that good. Commentaries note that Boker is joined with kindness, while Leilot, nights, is connected to faith. This because morning is filled with confidence and seeing the good all around you, whereas nighttime is dangerous, fearful, threatening, and thus our faith is heightened. Verses 5 and 6 provide a rational explanation for the necessity to praise God, to acknowledge him. And that is presented by the critical word ki, meaning for. Ki simachtani. The reason I'm doing this is because rational people declare something about the metaphysical, about God, and then immediately explain why they declare. We do so because we feel good from it. Thus, you made us joyous with your actions. I'll sing of your creations. How wonderful are your works, deep and profound, your thoughts and achievements. But verse 7 provides us with the fool. Ishbar lo yeda. He doesn't know, he doesn't understand. What is it that he doesn't know? Two possibilities, either what was said above or what will be said below. Commentators take positions on both sides, either that the fool doesn't truly understand how God acts justly, despite the fact that the righteous suffer and wicked prosper, or the fool doesn't understand the value of gratitude to God for what we have been given in this world, the Tov Lehodot. The critical verse 8 seems to support that the fool is unable to understand what is below, since the verse begins with a bet, Bifroach Rishayim Kamo Esav, describing the flowering of evil. If it is not dependent on the previous verse, it seems like a strange beginning. Rashbam fuses the two verses together, stating that in the form of a question, the psalmist is saying, does not the fool know or understand that just as the evil's rise is like quick grass, so too is his utter destruction? Then we reach the pivotal verse 8. Vata marom l'ilam Adonai. The sentence in question is an ambiguous one. And you, God, are eternally exalted. The word ata, you, is prefixed. No, not prefixed. Maybe prefaced. Maybe it's prefixed. By a vav, a letter with several different functions in the Hebrew language. It is a conjunction that can mean and, denoting collaboration and coexistence. And what I, you know, what we said before, and you, God. Or it could mean the opposite, but denoting a comparison or a contrast. When we translate the vav as and, we include the statement about God with the previous verses in the psalm. There are good people, bad people, and God. This gives the impression that God is very much part of this world. If, on the other hand, we translate the vav as but, we are making a clear distinction between anything this worldly and God, who is otherworldly. Well, the answer is both. God is above and beyond anything ephemeral, any human philosophy, or any mundane morality. At the same time, He, the creator of our human condition, the one who breathed his spirit into man, is very near to our world. The final section begins with another key in attempting to explain God's supreme and sublime position in the world. Ki ne ovecha Adonai, ki ne ovecha yovedu yitfardu yit kol pol avin. For behold your enemies, O Lord. Behold, your enemies will perish. The evildoers will be scattered. Vatarem kirein karni baloti b'shem en ranan. But you shall exalt my horn, like the horn of a wild ox. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. My eye will see the downfall of my enemies, and my ears have heard the doom of the wicked who rise up against me. And then, the righteous flourish like the palm tree grows like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Before the transition, there's a small mention of the wicked. But verse 10 is dedicated to strengthening the notion that the wicked, though in appearance are successful, will ultimately perish and be scattered. There's no deliberation in the psalm. He does not question his faith, just ridicules a fool who does not plainly see that the success of the wicked is illusory. In its place, there's much positive energy. Verse 11 speaks about raising his horn, an expression we have seen in Psalm 89, through my name, his horn will be exalted, as well as being anointed with oil, which sounds quite messianic. Verse 12, he is rewarded with witnessing the fall of his enemies, which is the very essence of the fight against the appearance of their eternal success. In 13, the metaphor of nature is employed once again. While the wicked were presented as cut down grass, the righteous flourished like a date palm. They last like a cedar. And finally, in 14 and 15, to make clear that the metaphor must be translated into the lives of the tzaddik, he states, the righteous is a sapling, tzaddik katamar yifrach, which is planted in the house of God, shetulim b'veit Hashem, flourishing in its old age, it will continue to bear fruit. The mashal and nimshal, the metaphor and the interpretation, are presented clearly, so all who had concerns understand. God's providence is with the righteous. There is reward in a pious existence. And ultimately, there's good reason to call out in God's name, which is exactly what he does at the end of the psalm, L'hagid ki ashar Adonai, tsuriv lo avla tabo, to declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness to him. The last verse forms the inclusio, where he started with L'hagid in the beginning, speaking of God's kindness and faith. He concludes with the same Lahagid, but this time he declares God's uprightness, his solidness, he's the rock, and there is no room for faltering in God's actions.